tonight on The Goblin's Corner.
Building a better cult.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to The Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're building a better cult.
Yeah, that's for your game, guys. Not just... I mean, if you want to build a cult too, you can. This is specifically for...
your game.
Your game, yeah. Yes. We've got Sigil in our house as well. Welcome again, Sigil.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm dandy, man.
Yeah. Peachy keen.
That's right. So tonight, and by the way, why are we doing a cult? Because whenever you play, especially in the fantasy trope world, you know, they've always got some silly robes and you fight them with daggers and that's about it, really. You know, they're praying to some unnameable lord. You don't even have like a specific god or demonic power. And so we felt that it would be important to build a cult that gives it a little bit of zing, a little bit of oomph.
Some flavor.
I'm all about that flavor, baby.
And why does every cultist have a Chris? Have you ever noticed that?
Like a Chris?
Yeah, the wavy daggers. Like, really? Grab a stiletto.
The angular dirk, what are they called?
I know what you're talking about. The triangle-shaped ones?
Yeah.
You see those every once in a while.
A sharpened fork, something, man.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but nothing says sacrificial dagger like a Chris, right? I mean, you know what's up with that thing. You know what it's used for.
It's certainly not for cutting your steak with.
That's exactly right.
Now, before we get to all of that nonsense, Matt, I believe you have...
a question of the week?
All right.
All right.
Hit me with this.
Okay. So you mentioned the common trope that cultists often have masks or robes and stuff. From a strictly style point of view, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What mask-robe combo would the Cult of Eric look like?
Oh, man.
This goes for you too, Sigil, so I want you to think about that.
Cult voted to me specifically?
Sure. Yeah, no.
Oh, that's even better. Then it's definitely going to be bathrobes of some sort.
Okay.
I'm going for like a cult of the dude.
Mm.
So, you know, bunny slippers, slightly tattered bathrobe, preferably black because, you know, I dress predominantly in standard issue black t-shirts. So I felt it fitting to have that. Although I would also.
I need to know something real quick. Is it like a terry cloth bathrobe or are we talking like a silk style bathrobe?
The terry cloth. The fuzzy one? Yeah, okay, the fuzzy stuff. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I had the right picture.
The stuff my cat likes to sleep on. Yeah. Now, I would also go for a deep purple as well.
Okay.
And if you maybe monogrammed like the towel cloth, the terry cloth bathrobes that you have at like the hotels.
Okay.
With the cult symbol on that.
What is the cult symbol?
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe something Godzilla-esque.
Oh, okay.
That would be totally
that's
fitting.
Fair. Yeah.
Stop laughing at me, Sigil. It's true, though.
Yeah, typical.
You could see this. Yeah, you could see this. In terms of facial wear,
I mean, you could just go with a Godzilla mask.
You could, but I don't know about that. I kind of feel like something more like a ballroom mask. So something out of Labyrinth. You know, okay. The long noses and stuff, or the feather mask.
Oh, so like the old school Venetian style.
There you go. That's what we're talking about. Like you're getting ready to go to a ball. Why? Who knows, man? Because I might be a cultist with a martini in my hand.
I feel like your cult would definitely have some sort of spirited
beverage. Some sort of drink, yes. A gin and tonic, a martini, rum and coke, even if it were. Sigil, what do you got?
You know, okay, for the aesthetic for my cultists... probably a lot of the audience that won't really get this reference, but there used to be the old Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario 2. The plot line was Mario went to some kind of dream world. Well, one of his enemies, instead of being like these turtles and mushrooms and stuff, were these little red guys with a white mask are called Shy Guys. And you can look this up. You'll know exactly what I'm talking
about. I know what you're talking about already.
And that's... I would like that aesthetic for my cult. Just a bunch of Shy Guys running around, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Matt.
The little pink cheeks and everything?
So it's like a red robe, like a hooded red robe.
Mm-hmm.
They have like blue shoes and they have a white mask. And they have big eyes on the mask.
For some reason, I was thinking the masks had the like rosy cheek look to them, but...
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Almost like a... what is it, like a kabuki sort of thing?
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of a kabuki mask. I think that maybe it was sort of a stylized deviation from the kabuki is where they got this idea from.
Almost certainly.
But yeah, that's definitely what I would have. I have these bunch of shy guys running around doing my bidding.
Nice.
All right.
What about you, Matt?
Oh, let's see. We're going to do... I think we're going to do like a comfy robe, right? Like no hood, just a...
So what, like flannel?
No. You've met me. I don't do flannel. Probably like just straight up t-shirt material, right? But it's going to be come down to the knee, right? It's going to be a robe. It's going to have to be in green. I feel like that's probably obvious.
Not surprised.
Right. Maybe some gray embroidery. And for a mask, if we're going to do a mask, I would like metal lace. That would be dope.
Metal lace?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like
fencing mask?
Like the old style. No. Like the old style lace masks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But done in metal instead of.
Like from Mirror Mask. You guys ever see the movie Mirror Mask?
No.
Neil Gaiman.
If I saw it when it came out.
A Neil Gaiman movie?
Yeah, you never see Mirror Mask?
No.
Dude,
no,
that's
I'm
right.
Have to now.
Brother, that's right up your alley, man.
Yeah.
Go watch Mirror Mask. It's got like some of the costume design. They have kind of graded masks, but they're like Celtic cross masks and stuff like that.
Oh, that's
all kinds of weird clockwork type things. And it seems your aesthetic, Matt.
I got
is
you.
What you're going for.
Yeah.
Do you have a cult that has some really awesome robes? Would you like to start a cult that has some really awesome robes? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, Eric@goblinscorner.com, or
Matt@goblinscorner.com,
or
Sigil@goblinscorner.com.
And of course, you can find us on all the things. All right, let's talk about a cult, guys.
All right. I think you got to start with, what is a cult?
All right, what is a cult?
What I went with for the purposes of this particular exercise was a quasi-religious group that's dedicated to either a philosophy, an ideal, a specific person or creature,
mm-hmm.
or even an object. So,
like a cult of a cheese sandwich?
Could be. Or, you know, like a cult of a magic cup or, you know... the Dawn Sword, which slayed the great vampire lord, blah, 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 right? Something like that.
I'm going with the cult of the cheese sandwich.
Sure, because cheese sandwiches are delicious.
Yes. Okay, so what was involved with setting a cult up? Now, in most TTRPGs, they tend to be sinister organizations.
Sure.
But they don't have to be, which you will explain later, which I love.
Thank you.
But what are we looking for when we want to have a cult?
Okay, so if you're going to set up a cult, what's the subject of the cult? Right? Like, what is the person, item, monster? You can't have a cult without whatever.
What's the philosophy? What are you culting over?
Right. What are you the cult of?
So whatever you're culting on is what you need to know.
Right.
Okay. I would actually, along the lines of that, ask, how invested are you in the cult? Your worshipers are.
Right.
So is this like a weekend warrior type of deal, or is it something that takes over the cultist's entire life?
Sure.
So if the heroes roll into town and, you know, it just happens to be a Saturday night, everybody's got their cult robes on, they're beating each other with, you know, brambles and dancing around a bunch of kegs, then that's one thing. If it's an entire commune, 100%, you know.
All the time, all day, every day.
All day, every day, no problem, then that's a different type of cult.
Sure. I mean, take your example, the cult of the cheese sandwich, right? Like, that's pretty much a mealtime cult. Right. I'm just saying, like, I'm not denigrating your cheese sandwich.
You shouldn't. It's a damn good cheese sandwich. It's got Havarti in it, baby.
Part of me hope that turn of phrase becomes like a household name, like
what, denigrating the cheese sandwich?
No. What is it? Dinner
time? Mealtime cult.
Mealtime cult. That's it. I'm hoping that catches.
We're making that into a t-shirt. Mealtime cult.
have a big cheese sandwich on the front, and it's just the mealtime cult.
Damn right, man. I'm going to make that into a t-shirt right now. I can't wait.
Right there.
Time is an illusion. Lunchtime doubly so.
Lunchtime doubly so. Giving it up for big. All right. So what does the cult offer its followers?
Sure. There's lots of things, especially in a fantasy or even a sci-fi RPG, that a cult could potentially offer its followers. Right? Power.
Power is obviously in power in all its forms, right? So you mentioned influence, for example. That's a type of transcendental power.
Sure. Safety.
That would be an interesting way to approach it from a storyline aspect. How do you think like safety would be factored in? Like safety because of if you don't join this cult, we're going to kill you, or?
Sure. It could be an extortion methodology, but it could also be perhaps the cult of Nanu is prevalent in this town because this one being is giving the town people enough power to protect themselves from the dangers that they have on all sides.
The cheese sandwich is powerful and protects your village.
Indeed. Yes. It's strong teeth and bones, man. Absolutely. You got to be able to fight.
A little bit of mustard for that tang. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Safety works.
Community, obviously.
Yeah. Getting some, just bringing a group of people together. Although, by its nature, cults tend to be small. Well, not necessarily true, but they tend to be different from a religious organization.
Right.
So they were not established. It's a part of the community, but also somewhat separate from it.
Sure. Could be indulgence.
Hedonistic?
Yes.
Yeah, get your freak on with the cult.
You know, a place where you're not being judged for the things that your predilections.
Man just has to love a cheese sandwich, guys. That's all it is. And I can find that with the cult of the cheese sandwich.
Sure. Nobody's going to judge you for loving the cheese. You can love your cheese sandwich and you can love your cheese sandwich.
Well, yeah, that's true. There's some. This is going to get dark real quick, guys. All right, let's move on here.
Just a general sense of belonging.
Okay.
Right. Just in general, the ability for people to belong to something.
Now, Sigil, we would be remiss, and you mentioned this early on as we were putting this together, was mystical powers.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, if you were to look at real life cults now, where they could potentially amass, you know, temporal power and influence and wealth and stuff like that, typically your average cultist in real life is not going to be enjoying many of those benefits. Just the vast majority of cultists are not going to, but that could be radically different in a fantasy setting where you join this cult and you have some very real personal power at your disposal as a result. So, you know, it's interesting because the incentives can be much, much greater in, say, like a fantasy setting where you join a cult and, hey, look, now I can start slinging fireballs around or summoning Eldritch Horrors or something.
I've got nifty shadow powers.
Oh, nifty shadow powers are always welcome.
Yeah. Chuck that Eldritch Blast, homie.
You've got a patron that's, you know,
yeah, I feel
some
like
kind of lesser deity or whatnot.
I feel like a cult is also a great way to put together a group of warlocks.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of other ways to really go about that very easily, right?
You know what? That's something that would be an awesome campaign idea where instead of a group of, you know, cabal of wizards or whatnot, you have a cult of warlocks devoted to a specific patron. Hey, could be a homebrew patron that you guys have created.
Yep.
That'd be fun. Now, we've also got forbidden knowledge, which kind of goes hand in hand with magical power. At least in my...
Certainly in a fantasy world.
Certainly
absolutely.
In a fantasy world. But you could also, like, if maybe you're not doing a fantasy world, maybe you're doing something more Cthulhu-esque. That forbidden knowledge definitely peaks in that. Or, here's another one, some kind of forbidden knowledge for, like, in science. Like some kind of sci-fi type of forbidden knowledge.
Yeah, that all that genetic testing so that you can make the man-bear pigs and what have you.
Well, you could even do Warhammer, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of forbidden knowledge in that.
And even if you just wanted to go to Shadowrun, right? Like, what if you've got a cult of personality and that forbidden knowledge is actually net access to certain things, and you can actually, it can go anywhere. It doesn't, it's not fantasy specific.
There's, yeah, you're talking forbidden knowledge and thinking like nuclear launch codes.
Right.
Yeah. Dangerous secrets.
Ooh. That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah.
I'm game. Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's nothing. You have little launch codes here and there. Rocking in the wasteland. I've got a ghoul by my side, a trusty dog, and a shotgun.
And a cheese now sandwich. Now you're talking.
And a goddamn cheese sandwich. That's all you need, man. Walk off into the waste in Nevada.
Spread the word of the mealtime cult.
There you go. Finally, we have influence.
Sure.
Which is, it kind of goes hand in hand, right? If you're going to be joining a cult, hopefully you shall gain some influence. We see this a lot in, at least when we roll our games, that baker might be a secret cultist, and now she or he owns the only bakery in town, or they've beaten off the competition because that person joined the cult. Same thing, or what is it, like the magistrate in a city might be part of some infernal cult to get more wealth.
Yeah, there's lots of... There's basically every flavor of influence, right?
Yeah,
you've got social influence, you've got political influence,
financial influence,
you've got magical influence. You just...
Yeah, you guys say that, and I'm thinking, like, the Skulls, you know? I don't know if you differentiate between, like, a secret society or a cult, but if you were to think of them as a cult, you're talking massive political and economic influence.
Yeah.
You know, just... And you're in just by dint of membership.
And this would be really cool in a campaign because these make great antagonists. Someone with a hell of a lot of political influence could cause your party of characters to be on the run because they wield that kind of influence. Or maybe they even are the character's patrons and are giving them jobs. But at some point along the line, they're going to screw them and just, you know, leave them for dead or something like that. And then the characters have to get vengeance.
Or even literally send them to their death. If I've sent you on 10 successful missions, there's no reason for you to think that the 11th mission isn't intentionally a suicide run. You wouldn't assume that. You'd be like, he's given us 10 jobs. We've completed 10 jobs. We're set. Oh, job 11? No problem, boss. Let's go, guys. And then next thing you know, you're in a volcano that is erupting.
That's a good point. Sharks with freaking laser beams.
Yeah.
Shooting you everywhere.
That's a series of tough breaks.
Really?
I'm not going to lie.
What does a cult ask of its followers? So we ask, what does it offer? Now, what does it want in exchange?
Sure. Now, obviously, every cult, I feel like, probably asks for some level of obedience.
You would think.
I think that's just, whether it's a small amount or a huge amount, there's some level. You've got to follow the cult rules, right? Like, you got to read the cult code.
You got to be loyal to the cult.
You got to make a cheese sandwich every fucking once in a while.
You got to do something. Got to do something, guys. Some sort of sacrifice is often part of being a cult. Now, that could either be human sacrifice or money, belongings, even, and this is a good idea I saw, is even time, like just your time doing stuff, or magical ability. Maybe you are literally giving spell slots to the leader of the cult. So, and I think of like this, what is it, circle magic from the Red Wizards? Like that type of stuff would be phenomenally deadly in a game.
Yeah. Maybe you've got services, right? If you're a blacksmith in a cult, you just got to make shit for them occasionally. Like somebody makes all those Chris daggers.
Yeah. If you're a tailor, you got to make some robes, man.
Right.
I need my fuzzy robes and bunny slippers.
It's interesting to think of like you have an evil cult and a group of adventurers goes and wipes them out and it ends up tanking the entire economy.
because they were all like beneficial members to the community.
Was making robes, making Chris daggers. They had people making cheese sandwiches.
We got no more wagons because you killed the wagon maker and he was part of this cult.
Right.
We got no more bread because the baker is dead. And we've got, you know, no more cheese for the cheese sandwiches because you killed the lady that, that had a whole bunch of cows.
Sure. Now the cows have run off wild. It's just
fucking cows.
Mass hysteria. Dogs and cats, man.
Do what they do, man. We mentioned money and belongings and stuff like that. One of the things I want to bring up is maybe the cult requires you to recruit others.
Sure.
Like a pyramid scheme.
Well, and if you're a good face man, like, you're the person they're going to send.
Yeah. Find people with low self-esteem. They induct them. Use a series of mystical or scientific tests to determine their value to society. And then sell them on books.
Sure thing, man.
Now, in fantasy games, cults often have something substantial to golfer cultists. Because if you get free magic for a service, that's a fair trade, right?
Sure.
So while they might, there's usually a little tit for tat, unless it's just a very domineering type of cult.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, in exchange for this mystical cheese sandwich, I might have to cast something like a spell or do a slight job for my, like almost like a job for an employer.
Yeah.
Or I may have to get my freak on with someone I don't want to. You know, whatever the aims happen to be.
Yeah. But what's the goal of the cheese sandwich cult?
That's a good point.
Or any cult in general, but.
Well, the goals of a cult can be many different things.
Yeah. So, you know, say your cult might want to be responsible for resurrecting a fallen god, say. I mean, that would be a pretty archetypal sort of cult business.
It might even take place. I could see the cult actually residing on the body of the dead god in the astral plane.
Oh, yeah.
It could. Or even in one of his ancient temples on this one.
That's true.
Or, you know, whatever plane you happen to be on.
And depending upon the game world you're playing on, dead gods coming back to life might just be a daily occurrence.
Sure. Well,
Forgotten Realms.
Well, the thing about Forgotten Realms, as a great example, right? Like, if a god's been forgotten and a cult springs up and starts spreading their worship, they start gaining power again.
That's true.
And so it can literally resurrect them.
Go from a cult to a religion?
Yeah.
Easily.
And so the way you're thinking about that, so that's really just largely a matter of scale.
Yes.
And whether or not that god really exists as a deity.
In Forgotten Realms, the difference between cult and religion is literally just a matter of scale. Because even if you had an imp that started a cult, if they got enough followers with enough belief, they could actually ascend into deityhood.
Yeah, it's different for other games, but that tends to be a definite for that.
Yeah, specifically for Forgotten Realms, not D&D in general, but. So, domination, just in general, right? Like, that's a great standard cult option.
We're trying to take over the world for $1 million. Yeah, domination's always good. Dominating the planet, dominating the entire material plane, dominating the town.
Sure.
Dominating somebody else, you know? Who knows?
That's a little further down on the list.
Securing one's place in an infernal hierarchy. Now, I like this one, Sigil.
Yeah, well, that's kind of your classic sort of your infernal cult, you know? And maybe your charismatic cult leader is looking to secure his place.
He doesn't want to start as a dretch.
Exactly.
No, man, he wants to bump up the, you know.
He doesn't want to be a soul coin. He doesn't want to be a freaking soul maggot.
He wants to start a decent
right?
way up the ladder, you know?
Yeah.
And then finally we have Sexen.
Sure.
Because there are sex cults.
Absolutely.
Because anywhere where there's someone who makes a rule about something, there's someone who wants to...
Break that rule.
Anywhere where
something natural is being repressed, the urge of a group of people to ignore that repression will rise?
Indeed.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Well said.
Thank you, sir.
I'm a helper.
Yeah. I didn't say it. So, lots of different goals. There's more than just this, obviously, but think about what goal your cult has and how does it work with or conflict with your party of adventurers
yeah.
in your game.
I mean, you're one or more of your adventurers could absolutely end up joining a cult if they're just like, hey, this, I'm actually 100% down with this.
I think that would be great.
Where do I sign?
Yeah. You know, it'd be interesting, speaking of that, is having an entire campaign centered around you forming a cult. And this could be,
I'm with it.
It could be a traditional evil campaign if you wanted to play that way. But you could also just be maybe somebody lying outside of the law. Not necessarily bad, but doing something. Maybe you found, like you said, some kind of unworldly patron.
Or it could, in fact, be a good campaign.
Absolutely.
What if you are a group of people attempting to ascend a celestial into deification?
Yeah, and there may be a main god at that point that doesn't want that to happen because that might take part of that deity's portfolio.
Sure. Gods aren't known for wanting to share a great deal.
Yeah, take his magic power, his worshippers, his stock options, all that stuff would be gone, man.
That's how they go.
That's
how they do it, man.
Yeah, that's a hostile takeover.
Every time.
And finally, and I love this one, does it operate secretly? Now, by at least in my head, I always see cults as being a little super secret.
But take the town that's a cult for its own protection, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the largest percentage of the town are members of this cult, why would they hide it?
That's a good point. Yeah, if there's more than that, then it would just be an overt thing going on.
Right.
That sounds like a Stephen King story. You know, some small town in the middle of the heartland or something, and it's...
Children of the Corn.
Children of the Corn is a great example of that, yeah.
Yeah, like everyone in the town knows what's up. It's only the outsiders that you're getting a sinister vibe.
You roll up in your mystery machine, you pop out. All you want to do is gas up the van, man. Fucking dog runs off into the woods, finds the dead body, and now you're on the run because they've slashed your tires, they've eaten Velma, and you're just wearing an ascot and a little bow tie thing going on. What was that, scarf? What the hell was Fred wearing?
An ascot.
It was an ascot.
It was a little bow tie thing he was wearing.
That's the ascot.
That's the ascot? Oh, God,
yes, it is.
I hate that thing.
Yeah, jinkies.
Yeah, really.
All right. So, depending on their level of secrecy, you've got to ask yourself a couple of questions. How do they communicate with one another?
Either just talking to them regular, hey, you going to the cult meeting tonight? Or it could be magic, maybe some kind of artifact that they all talk through.
Sure, or maybe one of the magic powers that they're granted by their culthood is the ability to telepathically communicate with one another.
I want to say that the Shadowvar series, Paulus Kemp wrote, they were speaking through the shadows.
Sure.
That's cool.
Because it was, a bunch of, it's a cult to Shar.
Right. But you could take that exact theme and move it elsewhere, right? Like if you've got a cult to a fire power, you light a candle, you speak into the candle.
And someone else hears it.
And someone else hears it.
Absolutely. That'd be
from
awesome.
Their candle, right? Like. That concept is modular. You can use it for different things.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And speaking of communication, how does one denote someone else as a cult member? Because if it's a secret organization, or even if it's overt sometimes, but if it's secret, a lot of times they're wearing robes or sometimes they hide their faces because you don't want to let everybody know.
Sure.
And so they might have secret handshakes. Some particular phrase that they whisper to people, a badge of some sort. You guys have any instances of some creative uses for that stuff?
Okay, not a cult, but secret society, right? The Harpers, they've got a badge.
Yep.
But it could even be how you start a conversation with somebody who just walked up. So,
like a catchphrase?
Yeah, but something innocuous.
Yeah, good, like a challenging password.
If you just, somebody walks up and you're like, oh, hey there, at the start of every sentence, then the people that you're like, what's going on? They're not gonna, they haven't returned that phrase. It's a two-part phrase.
Yes. Yes.
What is it? Is it something in a callback or?
Well, in the military, you call it a challenge and password.
Oh, okay.
And it literally, if someone comes into your perimeter, you are supposed to work a key phrase or word into a sentence in a natural sounding way. And then that'd be what the challenger does. And then the other party will respond with the password, which is a keyword or phrase, in a natural sentence.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I'm referring to.
Yep.
There you go. So there's a lot of ways we can incorporate those types of communication into the cult that you're building. Now, depending upon the power level of the cult, it may not have to operate secretly.
Sure.
As you mentioned, if it's taken over the entire town, you just operate openly.
Yeah. Everybody knows what's going on. Or if it's accepted where you're at, then you also don't. It's not necessarily a matter of power so much as just cultural acceptance.
Yeah, it just becomes a legitimate cultural institution at that point. Yeah.
Now, this is something that we didn't write down, but I was thinking of this. What if they have agents, too? If they're powerful enough, they might have agents sowing discord or inducting new members elsewhere in places where their power is not particularly focused.
Right.
And this is also another cool
cultist outside of their seat of power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe trying to infect the criminal underworld or get new converts or what have you, depending upon the motivations of the cult. Yep. And this is fun because, again, characters stumble upon this or maybe even join up. What kind of hijinks do they get into?
Sure.
Is there an inner circle to the cult or inner circles? Because there might be multiple levels.
Right.
You know, the typical cult member, it knows the following information. Go a few levels in.
Right.
You might have, you know, secret knowledge or what have you.
Yeah. And you might get commensurate power with your level of in-depthness with the cult.
Mm-hmm. The more involvement in the cheese sandwich lord, the more you gain the ability to enjoy its delicious presence.
Well, that new, I mean, obviously you get more cheese options.
Well, yeah, not just Havarti, my friends. No, get some queso along with that as well.
Some Gruyere.
Yeah.
That's how you make a cheese sandwich.
I am of the inner circle of Gruyere as well.
Now, see, I really like the inner circle concept because I think you can do a lot with it narratively.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think, so say you're running a campaign and it turns out that you have set up this cult to be the primary antagonist, you know, in your series of stories. You could set this up so that like lower rung cult members have no idea what they're actually working for or towards. You know, it may be that they're just under a false impression or they've been lied to and told that, oh yeah, this is all about cheese sandwich, you know, this is mealtime cult. But in reality, you know, you have an inner circle that's working to resurrect some dead god or trying to work their way up the infernal hierarchy. I mean, there's just a lot you could do with this, and you could do this a number of times over, circles within circles.
Sure.
Maybe the cheese sandwich is a key to the god of hunger, and you feed him the cheese sandwich. Now he comes back to life.
Or taking a key from, good gracious, Good Omens. Right. The devil or the demon in Good Omens designed an overpass that is an evil symbol that every time somebody drives over it, it increases the power of hell. Right.
Yeah.
So take that same concept.
Yeah.
For a cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are ingesting that could be your secret badge, right? Like whatever the design on the cheese sandwich is.
Every time you eat a cheese sandwich, a delicious cheese sandwich, the cheese lord gets one step closer to materializing on the prime material plane, everyone.
Yes.
That's right. He comes from the demiplane of cheese.
Lord Cheddar. Yeah.
Lord Cheddar.
Lord Cheddar.
We're going to run that at some point.
Sure, why not? Okay.
Look, we're probably going to run that in our Planescape campaign at some point. Just be prepared, guys.
I keep thinking of that old Primus album. What's Sailing on the Seas of Cheese?
Yeah, man.
Nothing but seas of cheese, and I have a boat made of pretzels.
Yes. All hail Cheddar.
All hail Cheddar. And finally, mealtime cult, my friend. And finally, are there uniforms or insignias? Robes, masks, badges, jewelry, clown hats, wonky shoes? What's their attire?
Clown shoes, man.
Clown shoes.
I mean, not for the cult of the cheese sandwich, obviously.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
But just in general.
That's just stupid. I mean, come on.
You know, on the face of it, it's hard to imagine. You know, when I think of a cult, I'm obviously thinking of like some sinister robes and, you know, some kind of ritualistic getup and whatnot. But I suppose it doesn't have to be that way. It
could be anything.
Yes.
Going back to the Children of the Corn example.
That's just a bunch of farmers.
Yeah. They just look like, you know, some salt of the earth farmer types. And
they look like they're from here and you look like you're not from around here.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's literally the only thing it takes.
So I would say with that, play up on the thematics of the cult, play up on the location, like geographically. And of course, if they're secret, do they need to hide their face? If they need to hide their face, what kind of mask are they wearing? Or even makeup, whatever that happens to be. Something you want to give it a little, if they're villains, maybe a little sinister edge to it, but not necessarily. I would also be horrified with clown shoes pop on a cult member because clowns so are that, creepy.
And clown makeup. See, I was seriously about to go in a cult of Lord Bozo and, you know, it's clearly a fear cult, right? There a whole bunch of people are afraid of clowns. I'm not, but there's a lot of them.
It's
true. A lot of people that are afraid of clowns.
All right. So we're going to get to a little bit more cultish stuff, but we'll be back.
See you soon.
This episode is sponsored by...
Hi, everyone. I am Gamer Mom Luna. Welcome to another episode of Tales from the Tavern. I have an amazing group of guests with me today, and I... What? Huh. Well, Chad has just informed me that this is actually a pre-recorded podcast ad and not our usual live stream. Since you're here, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Tales from the Tavern is a weekly roundtable discussion that is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Actually, it's a live audience at twitch.tv/shared_experience. Each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, I host a new group of guests where we talk about our experiences with tabletop RPGs and sometimes drift into other nerdy topics like dice, cosplay, video games, and conventions, back when those existed. Chat asks all the questions, so it's a new conversation each week. We can also be found in Ears Edition. We edit our streams for podcast, so if you can't catch us live, you can still enjoy the conversation. You can find us on most podcatchers at Tales from the Tavern Ears Edition. We hope to see you at the tavern soon.
This is a commercial break. If you guys would like to hear us review something like a product or service, or if you'd like us to cover something like a topic,
or if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd love to hear from you and have you contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
So write to us, and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe not. And we're back.
Welcome back, everyone.
All right, so we're talking about building better cults, and we kind of went through some of the basics, I would say.
Yeah.
What's your cult about? What's it doing? What kind of funky hats does it have? What is their what is the top topping of your cheddar sandwich? Because we've established that the mealtime cult is definitely to Lord Cheddar.
Yes. Now, and you have to ask yourself just real quick. I know there are people who put things like pickles and stuff on their cheese sandwich. What about a grilled cheese sandwich? Like, where are you on that? Like,
pickles on a grilled cheese sandwich? I'm down with that.
All right.
Anything but mayonnaise.
What about you, Sigil? What you got?
You know, I'm all for being creative with a grilled cheese sandwich. There's a lot you can do with a grilled cheese sandwich.
I love some garlic on a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Pickled garlic would be delightful.
Absolutely.
I'm down with that. You know what? Tomatoes I'm fine with as well.
Okay, yeah.
Or you know, nothing like a grilled cheese sandwich with
thinly sliced tomato.
Thinly sliced. Or tomato soup. You could dip it.
Yeah.
That's the way.
That's the way, guys. And you got a cold afternoon, you're not feeling too well because you're just dealing with something. You grill up yourself a nice cheese sandwich, some tomato soup, and pray to Lord Cheddar.
Yes.
I really hope this takes off as a thing.
And the mealtime cult.
The mealtime cult. Make a t-shirt.
Yeah, we definitely need that t-shirt.
Absolutely. All right, so you can make a standard cult to antagonize you or roll with your adventures, depending upon the campaign. We're going to kind of go a little left field now and make some non-standard cults. Now, Sigil, you mentioned the first non-standard cult, which came out of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, Hydra. I mean, I'm not sure it fits all of the, checks all the boxes, but it certainly seems enough, especially when you think of that scene when, I can't remember the character's name. He was that senator that had a problem with Tony Stark. He hugs that other guy and brings him and leans in close and just whispers, "Hail Hydra." I mean, to me, it's very cultish behavior.
Yeah.
That was really cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, they operate in secret. They have an ideology that they are slavishly
devoted to.
Like, yeah, no, I feel like that fits the bill.
I like cults to minor things as well.
Really?
Well, you had to bring this one up, and anybody that's listening to this podcast who has gone to Dragon Con will understand the cult of the Marriott carpet. Please explain this, Matt, for those who are uninitiated into the mysteries.
Oh, so there used to be a carpet in the Marriott that was a very specific pattern.
That shit was weird.
It was, but that was the only place you could find. Like, I've never seen that pattern anywhere else. And a lot of people took notice of it, and then they decided to change it. And basically, the cult of the Marriott carpet was truly born at that point. There were people who would cosplay as the carpet and stuff before they took it out. But after they took it out, there were people who collected old scraps of that carpet. I mean, there are people who have bumper stickers and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it got really strange after that.
But the cult of John, the FedEx guy, that's a zeitgeist style. It's literally a stand-up picture of a FedEx guy that people started leaving little knickknacks for and putting googly
that.
Eyes on.
Yeah, because they were like lighting candles next to the pop-up, and they had gifts and such. Little shrine made to the FedEx pop-up.
Yep, all because there was a little cardboard pop-up of a FedEx guy that was in the way, for all intents and purposes, on one of the sky bridges. And people just, it started with a pair of googly eyes, and it just went absolutely ape after that.
You know, it's 4 a.m, you've been up for 2 days straight.
You've been drinking for that same 2 days straight.
If you're us, you've been drinking probably before that. You're hanging out with some friends. You're a little on edge, a little loopy.
Yeah.
Kind of antagonized because you didn't make it into that panel. And you see something, just regular everyday objects.
Just screaming for vandalism.
Screaming for something different.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that everybody that goes to Dragon Con starts a cult, but you should.
Sure.
And tell us about it, because we'll be there with you.
Yes. In fact, and, you know, fingers, toes crossed, eyes crossed, all of that stuff. Should there be a Dragon Con this year?
Do you want to start a cult?
Well, I mean,
we've already got the mealtime cult. We're starting
right,
that.
Yeah.
Sigil, I want you to be the grand poobah of the mealtime cult now.
All hail Lord Chador.
All right. So, yeah, but we also want you, we're going to have a meet and geek. We've discussed this.
This is
and,
true.
And we're going to want you to tell us about your cults.
Absolutely. That'll be a question we ask. All right. We're veering off topic here.
Yeah.
Now, what are some other non-standard cults, Matt?
So this was an idea that I had that I really loved the concept of. It's not something I've ever seen anybody do before. What about having your players stuck in the middle of a cult gag war, for all intents and purposes, over either a location or some specific adherence or resources?
The cult of Lord Cheddar versus Baloney.
Oh, man.
The bologna sandwich cult. It's a holy war, guys.
Well, you know, Lord Bologna is actually just his cover name. It is actually charcuterie. He is the meat. The lunch meat.
You're getting all fancy with this, man.
Lunch meat. I mean, you know.
Hashtag Mealtime Cult.
Sure, why not?
Man, I want that to trend so bad.
We're going to make this happen. A thieves guild operating as a cult. This, Sigil, you mentioned this. I forgot about this.
Yeah, so we actually have seen this in Skyrim. If you follow the Thieves Guild quest line, you start off, you know, trying to help out this ailing Thieves Guild that's not doing so well, and you actually end up
running it.
Yeah, you end up running it, but not only that, but you end up finding, like, sort of the inner circle of the Thieves Guild is actually a cult of a Daedric prince called Nocturnal. And the cultists are called Nightingales.
Hmm.
So you're like this cult of Nocturnal and just doing her bidding, you know? I thought that was super cool because there's a lot of mystique to, like, Thieves Guilds in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
And it just fits so well.
And similarly, the Assassin's Guild is in Skyrim is also kind of the same as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something you expect from the Elder Scrolls is, like, any kind of Assassin's Guild, the Dark Brotherhood, Morag Tong, stuff like that, you're going to be dealing with, like, the Night Mother and Sithis and stuff, you know, for the Dark Brotherhood. So that was well known that originated as a cult. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that can be done with that. I think it's a really cool idea.
I agree. An evil cult operating as a puritanical movement.
Yes. So here's my theory on this. Follow me, right?
I'm waiting.
Okay. So it all starts small,
mm-hmm.
but as you build up in a puritanical movement, you get things like the Salem witch trials. You get things like people being absolutely awful to other people. It becomes diabolical.
I can see that.
And so it's a slow moving thing that as you reach the furthest ends of it becomes absolutely horrific.
In a previous episode, we were talking about horror games, horror thematics.
Yeah.
This would be a perfect slow burn horror game.
Oh yeah. I can see that.
Your party of adventurers or just survivors really roll into town. And over the course of several game sessions, shit just gets worse.
Right, to the point where the entire town is now, you know, been indoctrinated into this cult.
Now, bonus props if your player characters started the puritanical movement.
Sure.
All right.
Because and somebody subverted it?
Absolutely.
Oh, they that's great.
They got too carried away with it, and it just got dark real quick. And then even better if now the characters are on the run from the very movement that they accidentally helped cause.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I love that. We've got another, now this is, I think it's just somewhat traditional, but it's something that people don't really think about, a specific type of cult, like a mage guild cult.
Yeah.
Maybe secretly bent on summoning one of the elder elemental lords. And that was kind of what the Temple of Elemental Evil was in a sense, but let's go a little bit beyond that. Come on, guys. You can get crazy with elemental lords, not just earth, air, fire, water. What else we got?
Ooze,
yeah. Bringing back the ooze, baby.
There's some Jublex up in here.
Some Jublex in there? What about you, Sigil? What are you fond of elemental-wise?
Oh, I don't know. I like smoke.
There you go.
I think smoke is, and especially with its symbolic associations with, like, deception and, you know, there's just a lot you can do with the element of smoke. You want to make an elemental lord of smoke. They also have asphyxiation.
Sure.
You know?
The quasi-elemental plane of void.
That's always a fan favorite.
Yeah, just smother the person with nothing.
Lightning. Real lightning.
I was gonna go there. Yeah, you know, that would be a great cult of vengeance.
Lightning?
Yeah, a retribution, a cult of retribution. Where they're just praying to an elder elemental lord and it happens to be like a storm elemental and everybody that they...
Well, lightning's what, quasi?
Yes.
So yeah, you just literally that guy.
And well, think of like they're making offerings and they're burning it in effigy or doing lightning damage or something like that. Or
sure.
Holding it out in the middle of a storm and one of the villagers who happened to get the ire of one of the cult members gets struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And then over the course of a couple of days... all of their enemies start getting struck by lightning, sometimes in the middle of like a clear sky.
Yeah, and bolt out of the blue, man.
Adventurers have to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I think regardless of what the big bad is that you're talking in question, I think the idea of a cabal of powerful mages that are in thrall to some, you know, evil being is just, it's somewhat iconic, but it's also, you can do a lot with that.
What if it's not even evil, though? What if it's just a, like in the case of an elemental, a truly neutral being?
Right.
That is merely trading power for power.
Yeah, we talked about this not so long ago, yeah. As a matter of fact.
What would be the objective of this neutral being? That's something fun to explore.
Well, what we were discussing was like if you had the Lord of Fire giving people fire powers, because what do? They burn things. What does he get his power from?
Burning
things. Being burnt. So, yeah, it's for him, it's just an investment of power to get more power back.
Some people don't have a reason. They just want to watch the world burn.
Yep.
Absolutely. And, you know, going on this mage code, it doesn't have to be wizards or any type of, like, magic users. I could totally see, and I've actually built cults, like, scions, for example, a cult of scions, maybe sure. Controlled by some kind of
elder brain
or an aboleth,
sure,
or some kind of or a mind flayer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I could see that.
Or you want to get even more sinister, like an alhoon, an undead liches, the undead yep. Mind flayers. Yeah, I mean, it could be anything, really. My brain's going on this tangent, but going on like an aberration style, how about a cult of cannibals that are in reverence to a grell, one of the eaters?
Sure.
They look like they look like floating squid with beaks.
They look like brains with tentacles with beaks.
Yes, brains and tentacles and beaks, paralyzing tentacles.
So, you know, to take this into maybe like more of a sci-fi sort of bent, imagine a cult of like highly skilled technomancer high scientists that are essentially formed a cult of some extra dimensional being that they have made contact with through teleportation experiments or something.
Nice.
Or even a cult of something like the ghost in the machine.
Yeah.
So you've jacked into the Matrix and there's an AI that's slowly taking over parts of the Matrix and these hackers form a cult group online to do its bidding.
What about a cult of xenomorphs? Because this group just honestly believes that they're a superior life form.
So they purposely allow the xenomorph to inject eggs into its oviposter?
There's probably a pretty good argument for that, really. They're pretty well adapted for what they do, right?
It's true. Here's another type of cult. A barbarian lodge, which are secretly werewolves, follow maybe some kind of unnatural totem or a god like Malar.
Sure.
The Beast Lord in the Forgotten Realms.
Yep. You've got...
Yeah, you know I wrote this one.
Sure. The cult of the rounded square. A sect devoted to illogic and whimsy. But that's something I talked about, right? Like, what about cult... You know, we mentioned before, what about cults to small things or, you know, non-evil ideals? It's just... This is what they do because this is what they do.
I think Sigil's shaking his head, disagreeing with the evil bit.
Well, it's not copacetic. All right. I'm just going to say it right now. It's not, you're talking about round squares, man. That's like cats and dogs living together. You're talking about end time stuff here. Come on now. I'm saying you're playing with forces you don't understand when you start talking that way.
It's just round of squares. It's all over, guys. It's all over.
What's next? Married bachelors? Come on, man.
Could happen. Now, we would be remiss in that we have talked a lot about evil cults. And Matt, you have written a couple of awesome cults that aren't even evil at all. They just happen to be cultish societies.
Right. The Cult of Haley. Right? Sounds like a perfectly normal name. That's actually intentional. It's a cult that's dedicated to anonymous community service. It was inspired by the tragic loss of a young woman who was dedicated to helping around town. Right. There was just some young girl that was constantly helping folks out. And when she tragically died, people missed that and started emulating her.
This would be an awesome thing. If you're playing a game, this would be awesome to interject into a story to maybe save a character's life.
Sure.
Or as a benefactor for missions.
Yeah. I mean, I could see characters wanting to even join this.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, you could have the cult rituals be like holding a vigil on Haley's date of birth or a date of death.
Yeah.
And, you know, do good works in her name.
Yep.
You know, that sort of thing. I could definitely see that. That's cool.
I like that. You've got the cult of Tiltia, a redeemed succubus, which is inspiring consent and understanding-based hedonism.
Sure. If everybody's consenting adults, right, then hedonism at a certain level is fine. And so if you've got a succubus who's been redeemed, their ballywick is still what their ballywick is.
She's just getting everybody to dance, guys, in a town that's filled with people who don't dance.
Yep.
And there's a dance instructor and this young woman who has 80s hair, and they're just trying to, you know, trying to dance together, no matter whether
or not. Just trying to get their feet loose,
just
man.
Trying to get the your different movie, but yes.
Yeah, she's trying to turn squares into circles.
Trying to turn square. Still on the squares and circles,
well,
man.
That's how it starts.
That is how it starts. I think this is a great idea. By the way, this is also consponsible with consent.
Yeah.
Very good. What a cool thing to have in a town. Again, this I could see heroes joining this, especially like playing the Forgotten Realms, Cleric of Soon.
Sure.
Bast?
Yeah.
What's the one that voted to hedonism in Forgotten
Charis.
So a Cleric of Charis.
Yeah. You know, if you wanted to go the tropey bard route, but you didn't want to have to irritate your party with it,
mm-hmm.
right? This is a way where you could go that route of, oh yeah, sleep with everything, horny bard, blah, blah, blah. Well, without having to constantly try and seduce the dragon or the gorgon or whatever, right? You could...
He just happens to like stumble down a wrong alley and he's in a cult of Tiltia and the dragon seduces him.
Sure.
He stumbles back to the hotel. Where were you, man? We were getting worried. We thought you might have gotten, you know, rolled by the local thieves. You wouldn't know what happened to me tonight. I was in so many orifices and cloacas that it was just crazy. I might have spawned several different cross species.
Yeah, man, that's how You take a long rest and you still wake up with the level of exhaustion, man. And sometimes it's just like that.
Oh, man. I need some deep hydration and some lava soap, guys.
All right. So we got community anarchs.
What are these?
This is for a more urban style setting or even, you know, a futuristic one. It's an urban cult that skips the red tape and gets community projects handled around town quickly by whatever means they can arrange.
I'm down with that. Where do I sign up?
So, funny story. There's a group that actually does this in the Pacific Northwest. They do stuff like fix potholes because the potholes have been reported over and over and the towns weren't getting around to fixing them. And so they literally learned how to fix potholes. And they just
did them to make everybody else look bad.
No, not to make it because it needed doing.
Just because it needed doing.
Yeah. So, you know, it's technically illegal to do public works without
some kind of red tape following it.
But they got the pothole fixed.
I love that. That's awesome.
But, you know, stuff like that. So you could do that in a sci-fi setting. You could do that in an urban setting. You could put something like that anywhere.
I call this the cult of the decent person.
You want to hit the next one there?
So what about something like, what is this? The cult of Persqui?
Sure.
Maybe. Sure. So this is a group that looks after urban animals, stray dogs, feral cats, squirrels, and the like, to the extent possibly of punishing people that mistreat animals. That's kind of cool.
Like, You don't know these guys even exist, and you're walking, some stray dog comes by and you're that asshole. You kick the stray dog. Next thing you know, you've got four flat tires and a
buried in the backyard.
Fuel soaked rag sticking out of your gas tank.
I call this the cult of the pet Avengers.
Sure.
Where there's evil, where kibble is not given, they will be there. I was going to go with it, and I didn't.
Right. Yeah.
And finally, we have the Cult of the Literate Worm, a group devoted to literacy, knowledge, and the techniques involved in library maintenance. It's a cult of librarians.
Yeah. It's funny that you... So, I didn't write this one. Eric added it. And the funny part about that is, when you were talking about a cult in the Mage Guild, my brain went to, what about a cult of librarians that determine what research mages are even capable of getting?
That would be a circle within a circle, sir.
That's cool. Yeah. Talk about being the power behind the power, right?
That is a, you know what? I didn't even go there, but that I'm thinking more Reading Rainbow than Dark Circle of Mages, but this is great.
Oh no. I knew where you were going with it. I just, the fact that my brain had keyed into librarians earlier and you already had it on the sheet of paper.
Yeah. So say
paper,
these guys
like
are,
I'm not looking at a freaking screen. That's how my brain works, man.
That's awesome. That's, you have this group of, say, this is perfect for like a setting where you have like an arcane college or something like that.
Yes.
You know, and it's all very regimented in a, as a university setting, and the research mages, yeah, they have to go through the librarians. The librarians form their own little cult. And worship a god of knowledge or,
yeah,
you know, something along those lines.
And they're the power behind the university or the Mages Guild.
Well, they could, in theory, they could control the entire direction the university goes.
Yes.
For centuries to come.
Well, because not just that, but they determine the success and failure outcomes of all research.
Yeah.
Because they either place the right information in people's hands, or they make sure it never gets there.
All right, now I'm going to spin this in a sci-fi methodology now.
Sure, hit me.
Replace the librarians with a media corporation. And they own a major news network, and they determine the, by spinning information a certain way, they are the gatekeepers to what the populace knows, or even holding sway over people who do hold the power, like politicians.
Sure.
Or, you're playing Shadowrun, like certain corporations.
What about the Ghost in the Machine and that cult that we discussed earlier, determining even what corporations get what information?
Hmm.
That reminds me of old comic book, Ghost Rider 2099. You remember the 2099 series?
I do.
Oh. Yep.
And Ghost Rider 2099 was about a guy. He was like a hacker that ended up becoming the Ghost in the Machine, and it was put into this warbot that was Ghost Rider. But there is a series of AI in the Matrix, and if you kind of going that way, these guys were trying to use Ghost Rider to ensure civilization continues, that humanity didn't destroy itself. And this would be the perfect way to do this, right?
Sure.
Is by controlling what information all the institutional, the cultural institutions, societal institutions, what information they have access to. There's something too dangerous. Nah, those guys are going to destroy themselves. So right. We'll limit it through this cult.
So there you have it.
Yep.
A whole bunch of different ideas of cults, which are not cults, cults, which are cults, and cults, which are cheese sandwiches. Mealtime cult, guys. Mealtime cult.
Hashtag mealtime cult.
Yes, absolutely. Did we miss anything about cults that you wanted to know in particular? Write to us. info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, matt@goblinscorner.com, or
me, sigil@goblinscorner.com.
We're on all the things, guys. We have a Instagram, we have a Facebook, we have a Twitter, we have a Pinterest, we have a Twitch. All of them say Goblins Corner, with the exception of the Instagram, which is the Goblins Corner. And of course, you can find us on goblinscorner.com, where you can find wonderful merchandise, and most likely, very shortly, a Mealtime Cult t-shirt.
And soon articles.
And soon articles by our staff writer, Sigil. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us. Once again, my name is Eric.
I'm Matt.
I'm Sigil.
And we'll see you next time.
In a world where the Goblin's Corner is by Matt Staples
and Eric Holden, show song by the mighty D20.
This has been a Subterranean production.
Coming soon.